Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We're so glad you're here. Thank you, Dylan. Good morning. Hey, maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you've never been here before. Maybe you're kind of new to this whole church thing and you wonder what's about to happen. Who is this guy up on stage and why is he loud talking right now? Oh no, I almost tripped. What is going on? Well, let me tell you what is about to take place over the next few minutes. So if you are sitting in here in church, you probably understand that in this place, we believe in God. We believe in God. I'm just going to throw that out there to start. That's who we are. Over the next few minutes, I'm going to take some time to talk about what is written in this book. This book, this is not just a random book. It happens to be the Bible. That is a book that we believe is incredibly important in this place. In fact, just so you know, we actually believe that this book is the Word of God. That every sentence, every word, every paragraph, every story is directly inspired by God who created everything. That is what we believe about this book. So this morning, we're going to take a few minutes. We are going to dive into it. We're just going to look at a paragraph of this book because we believe that what is in here is the most important things that we have in our lives. And we believe that we should live according to what is written in this book. We believe that what is written in this book is directly from God, and because of that, we should live according to what it says. So, as we start this morning, I think it's fitting to tell you about a time when I did not do that, when I did not live according to what the Bible says. So, believe it or not, I was 17 years old at one point. Eddie's judging me because I'm not that much older than 17 right now. But I was 17 years old at one point. And at 17 years old, you have something, a machine that you possess that has way too much power than what you're capable of controlling. I'm just going to be honest. At 17, you are given a machine that makes you feel like the greatest, most important person on the planet. When you are in control of that machine, nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. You're on top of the world. You can do whatever you want. You can go wherever you please because you possess this machine. And this machine is called a car. A car. I had one at age 17. It was a 2000 red Honda Accord. Had the wood grain interior that was peeling off because it was cheap. My mom drove it before me, so you know it was cool. And that was my ride, right? When I was in my car, I was on top of the world. Nothing could stop me. I could go anywhere. I could do anything. I could be anything I wanted because I was 17 and I had a car. There were no borders. I can go wherever that thing wants to take me. And at 17, when you have a car, there are times where you drive that thing like you stole it. And maybe you don't understand that, or maybe you've never heard that expression this morning. What I mean by that is that I would drive my car very, 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 very fast all the time. All the time. That's just who I was at 17. I'm like, if I can go fast, I don't know. I like living on the edge. I'm going to drive fast. Speed limit, what are those? You know, I'm going to do what I want. I'm 17 years old. So there was this one occasion where I was out on a date with my honey, my girl, Heather Sanchez. Yeah, I knew her at 17. I don't know if she thought it was a date. That's besides the point. We weren't actually dating yet, but you know, she was hanging out with me. So I'm like, we're on a date, girl. So I took her home. I dropped her off. And then I had to go home from there. But here's the issue. I drive my car like I stole it. And there are these people whose job it is to protect and enforce the law of the land. They're called police officers. And I happened on that fateful evening to pass one of those. And suddenly there were red and blue lights in my rearview mirror. This was not normal. This was not good for me. So, that fateful evening, I received something called a speeding ticket. That is what I got. I was driving too fast. I got pulled over and I was handed a speeding ticket. Of course I was nervous, but I'm going to be honest. I was thinking, hey, I'm 17. I'm not an adult yet. I can get out of this, right? Like kids, you know, we just get the way out, right? They're not going to send me to jail for a speeding ticket, you know? Or on the other hand, I was thinking, I'm 17. Mom and dad can probably get me out of this, right? Like they have my entire life. They've got me out of a lot of trouble. I'm sure they can talk this kind police officer out of this, right? I don't deserve it. I do deserve it. But that's besides the point. My parents can get me out. That's what they do. They're great. But as the police officer handed me the speeding ticket, he told me not just that I would have to pay a fine or take the ticket, but he told me that I would have to appear in this wonderful place called court. I would have to appear in court. Again, I'm 17 years old. My concept of court is what I've seen on television. I'm thinking at some point, I'm going to be standing in front of a judge who's wearing a black gown, and there's going to be a whole bunch of jurors over there that have my fate in their hands, and I'm going to be pleading my case, trying to convince them that I was not speeding, even though I was speeding, right? I'm thinking at some point in this court case, when I'm standing there in front of the judge, I'm going to get an opportunity to go, I'm not guilty. And then we'll see what happens from there. So I go to court. I take my mom with me, right? Because she'd get me out of anything. Don't judge me. Who's laughing? Don't judge me. I take mom with me to court because she can fix all problems. And I'm sure the judge would think she is a sweet lady. And maybe I would get out of it. But the court appearance went a little different than what I expected. Because apparently, when you get a speeding ticket and you are speeding, you get the punishment that you deserve for that speeding ticket. There's no pleading your case. There's no proving that you were not speeding because I was speeding. And because of that, I would get the punishment that I deserve. Apparently, I could not do anything to fix my speeding ticket. No matter how hard I tried, no matter if I cried, no matter how sorry I was, there was nothing I could do to get out of my speeding ticket. It was mine. I had to pay the fine and sit through what felt like a 14, 15 hour driving class to learn how to drive once again. That was my punishment. I couldn't do anything to fix it because I was speeding. I was speeding. I got what I deserved. According to the law of the United States of America, according to the laws of Gilbert, Arizona, I had done something wrong and I deserved the punishment for my action. I mean, that's what laws are, right? They are a standard of what is right and what is wrong. They are a standard of perfection according to the United States of America, according to Gilbert, Arizona. If you live according to these laws and you don't break any of them, you are a perfect citizen. But I broke a law, and because I did that, I deserve to be punished for my actions. Junior hires, I believe that we would all agree that there are some laws that we should follow no matter what. I mean, we should follow all the laws, but some of them are really weird. Like in California, I believe you can't throw live chicken feathers out your window while driving. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but that's one that's like, I don't know. It's a little weird. But I believe we would all agree that there are certain laws that we should not break because they are bad. We probably should not murder anybody. I would beg to say we would all agree with that statement. We probably should not murder. That's bad. It's not good. We don't want to be involved with that. We probably shouldn't steal, right? I would guess we would all say stealing is wrong. We shouldn't do that. Even some of those of us in here who have stolen something. You understand and feel and know the guilt of that. And you're like, that's wrong. Probably shouldn't do that. We'd probably all agree that you should not abuse or physically hurt other people. That it's wrong. And that when you do those things, you deserve and you go to jail. You get the punishment for your actions. I believe all of us in here agree with those things. I also believe that all of us in here understand that there are some things that are not law, but are still wrong, even if they don't mean jail when you break them or when you do them. Things like lying. I would beg to say that each of us in here would go, yeah, lying is probably wrong. I learned that at a really young age. My parents told me not to do it. Lying is bad. Lying, you shouldn't do that. It's just wrong. Things like cheating. Yeah, I know I shouldn't do that. I get in trouble at school if I do it. It's wrong. I get it. It's wrong. That's not the way that things are supposed to work. Things like hating other people. I think we would all look and go, man, hating people is wrong. Whether you've been hated or whether you've hated other people yourself, I believe all of us in here would look and go, yeah, hating other people is wrong. See, I would beg to say that each and every one of us sitting in here this morning realizes that there is right and there is wrong in our world. That there is good and that there is evil. Regardless of what you believe, regardless if you know anything about Jesus, regardless of any of that, you can watch the news at 5 o'clock at night and see that there is right and there is wrong in this world. Regardless of what you believe. We all understand that there are things that are good and that there are things that are bad. We believe that the reason you are able to look at the world and distinguish that there is right and wrong is because you were created by and for a perfect, an all good, an all right, an all perfect God. You were created by and for a perfect God who has never done any wrong, who knows no wrong, who does not like wrong. And because of that, you and I are able to look at the world around us, regardless of what we believe, regardless of the fact if we even acknowledge that God exists, and we're able to look and go, there is right and there is wrong in this world. And in this place, we believe it's because you were created by a perfect God. We believe that God created humanity to be special to him and to exist in his perfection. The very first man and the very first woman, Adam and Eve, they were created to exist in perfect unison with God. They would know no evil. They would know no wrong. They would just exist in this perfect, all good, amazing humanity that God designed. It was the way that he set it up. He wanted things to be perfect. Hear me, junior hires. We were meant to have total freedom and to exist in a perfect world with God. That's what we were created for. That's the way that it was supposed to be for us as humans. We were supposed to be free from all wrong and all evil. But I think we all know that that's not the way things work. I think we all know that somewhere along the way, all of us got our speeding ticket. I mean, maybe we didn't actually get a speeding ticket. Maybe you have never broken a law of Gilbert, Arizona. Maybe you have. Don't tell us about it. Maybe you've never broken a law of Gilbert, Arizona, but I can tell you this. Each and every one of us has broken one of God's laws. Each and every one of us has not lived up to God's standard of perfection, his standard of what is right and his standard of what is wrong. Each of us have done something that shows that we are not perfect. We have broken his law. We have messed up. That is who we are. Not a single one of us in here can say that we have not broken God's law. So we are. I told you we're going to talk about this book. There's a verse in this book in Romans 6, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
For all have broken God's laws. For all have done wrong. For all have messed up and fall short of God's perfection. Every single one of you. You've all done it. I've done it. We've all messed up. Every single one of us at some point in our life has decided that what we want for ourselves is better than what God wants for us. Every single one of us has made that choice. That's who we are as human beings. And just like my speeding ticket put me in front of a judge waiting for a verdict, waiting to hear guilty or not guilty, waiting to see what my punishment would be, waiting to see what the judge was going to do with the fact that I broke a law, just like my speeding ticket, we all now stand waiting for a verdict. Waiting to hear what is going to happen with our life. So, then, what's our verdict? If you have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 is where we're going to be today. If you need a Bible, put your hand up. We have those for you. We want you to have one. We want you to read along and see what we're talking about this morning. John chapter 3. No shame. We want you to have a Bible. As you're turning to John chapter 3, let me just catch you up on where we are in case this is your first time here. Since the beginning of the year, we've been going through this book of the Bible called John. So this big book is made up of a bunch of other little books, and one of those is called John. The book of John is written by a guy named John. Great job. A plus. It's written by a guy named John. John happens to be one of the best friends of Jesus. One of his best friends, while Jesus was here and walking on the earth, John was one of his best buddies. He hung out with him. He knew what he did. He knew what he was like. And he now writes us a story of Jesus' life. A story that shows us who Jesus is. We get an inside look at Jesus from one of his best friends. And that's what we've been going through since the beginning of the year. And today, we find ourselves in John chapter 3. We're going to start reading in verse 19. But before I read this, I want you to think about this. Every single one of us has sinned. Every single one of us has done wrong. We've all messed up. And just like I broke the law and I waited for a verdict, I waited for the judge to tell me what my punishment would be, each of us are waiting to hear what our verdict is. Let's read John chapter 3, verse 19. It says, this is the verdict. Thanks, John. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Okay. This is the verdict. The evidence of our lives, our actions, our mistakes, if you put everything we've done wrong up on a chalkboard, it would show that we are messed up people. It would show that we love doing wrong. We love it. It's just who we are. We love doing what's wrong. It feels good. Our lives would show that. In fact, our lives would also show that in the middle of us doing wrong, the last thing we want is to be a part of something good. In the middle of our deepest, darkest moments, we don't want anything to do with what is good. We love the wrong. We want to sit there. We want to stay there. And we want to enjoy what is wrong. That's who we are as human beings. And it's interesting because John uses this illustration of light and dark to explain this to us. So in order for you to understand what John is saying, there are some things about the dark that you must understand. What are you experiencing right now as you sit in darkness? The dark is disorienting, isn't it? When you're in complete darkness, you don't know up from down, left from right, where you're going, what's around you. It just messes with your head. When you're in the middle of darkness, you're lost. You don't know what's good and bad, what's right and wrong. The dark is scary. I heard somebody say it. The dark is scary. When you're in total and complete darkness, it's scary because you don't know what hides in the corners. You don't know what's in front of you or what's behind you. It's a scary place when you're in the dark. Here's something I want you to understand about the dark, junior hires. Is that when you're in the dark, you can get away with a lot that you can't get away with when you're in the light. When you're in the dark, you can get away with a lot that you can't get away with when you're in the light. See, the truth is, if you are up to no good and you're in the dark, the last thing you want is for light to come on. The last thing you want is light. You don't want light on because if you're in the dark and you're in the middle of doing something wrong, you're in the middle of making mistakes, you're in the middle of doing something bad, you don't want the light on because then people will see you. They'll see what you're up to. You don't want light on because then you're going to have to explain why you're doing those things. You don't want to have to do that. You don't want to have to explain. You don't want the light on because if people see, then you're going to have to try to fix everything you've done wrong. You're going to have to go back and try to fix every mistake you've made. You're going to have to go back and try to make up for the lies you've told. You're going to have to go back and try to fix the things you've cheated on. You're going to have to go back and make up with the people that you've hurt. If the light comes on and people see who you really are. When you're in the darkness and you're up to no good, you don't want those lights on because then you're caught. You're caught in the middle of what you're doing wrong. And let's be honest. When we're in the middle of the dark, not just the physical dark in a dark room, but I'm talking about in the deepest, darkest parts of our heart. You don't want to deal with those things. You don't want to deal with what you're trying to hide in the dark. Junior hires, you don't want to deal with what you're doing wrong. The dark hides those things. And here's what John is saying to us. The verdict for each and every one of us is that we're sinners and we love to try to cover up our sins, our mistakes, our wrongdoing, the laws that we break. We try to cover those things up with darkness. If we can just hide them and we can just keep them in and we can just hide them in the dark and we will stay here and nobody will know and we'll keep doing what we're doing, we just want to hide them. Let's cover them in the darkness. No matter how scary it is, no matter how disorienting it is, we're just going to hide them there. We're going to stay in the dark. In fact, we love darkness because we realize that there is no way for us to fix the things that we've done wrong. There's no way for us, for you and me, to make up for what we've done wrong. It's impossible. So because of that, we love darkness. Basically, junior hires, the verdict for our wrongdoing, each and every one of us has done it. Each and every one of us has done something wrong. The verdict for our wrongdoing is that we're all doomed. we go to prison for breaking the laws of the United States of America, we can believe that the punishment for breaking God's law probably isn't too fun. In fact, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin, for the wages of doing wrong, for the wages of breaking God's law is death. So what you deserve for all the wrong that you've done is death. Not just physical death, we're all going to get that. But we believe that when you physically die, your soul, your spirit goes on and exists somewhere. And as it stands, because we've done wrong and our verdict is guilty, what we deserve is death. Eternal death, eternal separation from a perfect and good God. Junior hires, that's what we deserve for our wrongdoing. That's our verdict. Have a great week. I'm kidding, guys. Come on, knock it off. Look, we're not stopping there. I'm not here to rob you of your hope. I'm actually here for the exact opposite reason. Also, I like happy endings, so we're just going to keep going because this is the greatest ending that anybody could ever imagine. So I'm going to read. I'm going to read another verse to you. I'm going to start in 19, John chapter 3, verse 19, but we're going to read through 21. I know you can't see, but just listen as I read this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. That but means that there's more to the story. That but means that there is a way out of the darkness. There is a way for us to get out of the darkness and to step into the light. And junior hires, it's not as scary as you think. It's not as hard as you think. There's a way for us to get out of those deepest, darkest places. And it may be different than what you expect. Because verse 21 tells us that truth brings your life into the light and out of darkness. Truth. Another version of this Bible called the ESV, the English Standard Version, says this: whoever does what is true comes into the light. Whoever does what is true comes into the light. So then, what is truth? What is truth? Thankfully, the Bible gives us an answer to that question. Let's read. We're going to step back in Scripture. We're going to read John chapter 3, verse 16. Maybe it's a verse, not maybe, it is a verse that probably all of you know. But if you're wondering what the truth is that brings us out of the darkness and into the light, that gives us hope, that fixes our mistakes, that solves our problems, that forgives us of everything we've done wrong, if you're wondering what that truth is, here it is, junior hires. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, all of us, every single one of us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not get death, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here it is, junior hires. The truth that takes you out of the darkness, out of the hurt, out of the pain, out of the sin, out of everything you've done wrong. The truth that does that is right here in these verses. Doing truth
is realizing that you can never do anything to fix your own sin. Doing truth means that you understand that you cannot fix the things you've done wrong on your own. Doing truth is believing that God sent his one and only son to take the punishment you deserve for your sin and give you life instead. Doing truth is believing that Jesus is who he says he is. It's believing that when you stand before the judge, waiting for the guilty verdict that you deserve, because you're the one who's done wrong, because you're the one who's broken the laws, it's believing that in that moment, what Jesus did for us was step in and say, wait, wait, no, don't give them the guilty verdict. A perfect Jesus, one who had never sinned, one who had never made a mistake. As we stood and we waited for our guilty verdict, he stepped in and went, wait, no. I know I don't deserve it. I know I haven't done anything wrong. I know I've never made a mistake. But punish me instead. And give them life. Let them go free. It's believing that this is the truth about Jesus. See, God didn't give Jesus so that we could stay in the darkness of our sin, junior hires. That's not why we gather here. That's not why we worship Jesus. God didn't give Jesus so that our verdict could read guilty and our punishment would be death. That's not the point of Jesus. He's not here just to tell us how bad we are and how wrong we are. That's not the point. God gave us Jesus to forgive us of everything we've done wrong and to take the punishment that our darkness-loving hearts deserve. God gave us Jesus so that our sin ticket in life, not our speeding ticket, but our sin ticket could be ripped up and we could walk away not guilty of everything we've done wrong. Jesus stepped in to take the punishment that we deserved. He did it when he died on that cross. Because in that moment, an innocent man died. A man who had never sinned. Never told a lie. Never stole. Never cheated. Never hated. He never, ever sinned. But yet he chose to die. The one and only Son of God chose to hang from a cross and die a brutal death so that we wouldn't have to experience spiritual death, eternal separation from the goodness and the perfection of God. And on that cross, he took all of our sin with him. He nailed it there. Everything you've ever done, everything you ever will do, he nailed it there. When he died. But the story doesn't end there. Because 3 days later, Jesus, who was nailed to that cross, took a breath, got up out of the tomb, and proved to us that death, that sin, that wrongdoing could not stop our God. Proved to us that death couldn't hold him down. He was too good. He was too perfect. He was too powerful. And he loved us too much to give us what we deserve for our wrongdoing. Junior hires, this is the core of what we believe as Christians. And there's two groups of you sitting here this morning. You hear all of this, and you hear a verse that maybe you've heard 1,000 times in your life. And you go, okay, that's great, but what do I do with that? I mean, what does that mean for me? I told you that we believe we should live according to what this says. So how does that even apply to me, a 12, 13, 14-year-old in 2015? Well, there's two groups of you. There's those of you that sit in here and you're like, I believe all this. That belief thing, yeah, I've done that. I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. If you're sitting in here and you're a Christian, what you have to understand and remember and never forget is what God has done for you by giving his son Jesus to save you from what you've done wrong, to save you from the punishment that you deserve. Christians, God loved you enough to give you a not guilty verdict. He loved you enough to forgive you and to give you new life through Jesus. And here's what you should do with this, Christians. Hear me. You should do everything you can to tell other people about this Jesus. Christians, you should do everything you can by the way you act, the words you say, the way you live, the way you love people, everything you can to help other people believe that this whole Jesus thing is the real deal. And there's a second group of you in here that go, I don't believe this. This isn't for me. This isn't what I'm about. I'm going to read another verse to you. Verse 18 of John chapter 3 says this. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever believes doesn't get the punishment that they deserve. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Junior hires, this is super clear. This is super clear. And today, if you're sitting here and you're like, I don't believe this thing, you have a choice today. You have a choice. And I'm not here to scare you. That's not the point of this whole thing. It's not about being scared into believing. It's about understanding that Jesus is the only hope. That Jesus is the only thing that forgives us for what we've done wrong. The only one who fixes our problems. The only one who gets into the deepest, darkest parts of who we are and shines light on them and says, you know what? In spite of all the things you've done wrong, I still love you. I want you to walk away free from those things. Junior hires, the only thing that stands between you and a not guilty verdict is belief. Romans 10:9 says this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. In the very deepest core of who you are. That God raised him from the dead. That Jesus is the real deal. That he is who he says he is. And that he's the only one who forgives you of everything you've done wrong. You will be saved. Whoever believes that Jesus is who he says he is will have eternal life. Whoever believes that he is the Son of God who takes away our sins will have eternal life. Whoever believes that Jesus died and rose again, forever giving us a not guilty verdict, will have eternal life. It's that simple. It's that simple. And I'm going to be really upfront and honest with you. If you're sitting here and you don't believe, my prayer for you today is that you believe. I'm not going to hide it. That's what I want for every single one of you. My hope is that as we've looked at Scripture today, you realize that we've all messed up, that we've all done wrong, and that we can't fix those mistakes on our own. My prayer is that you realize that Jesus is the only way to be forgiven of everything you've done wrong and to receive a new life, one free from sin. So I'm going to invite the band back up. And I'm going to ask that, I know it's going to be distracting, but that you would stay focused right here. Today, junior hires, you can make a personal decision to follow Jesus. It's got to be personal. I can't say any words that are going to do it for you. I can't make the decision for you. You have to make a decision to believe. Whatever God is doing in your heart as you hear this, you have a decision. And you can decide to receive the free life and the forgiveness and the not guilty verdict that Jesus gives us. So here's my question to you. Will you believe? So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray. And as I pray, if you're sitting in here and you're like, you know what? I get it. I need this Jesus. I need this forgiveness. I want this. Then I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to pray as I pray. I'm going to ask you to speak to God, to talk to him about it, to declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. So as I pray, you can ignore what I'm saying, but I want you to talk to God about what's going on in your heart because he hears you. So I'm going to ask that you pray as I pray. And then the band's going to play, and I'm going to ask this. I'm going to ask that you don't just jump up on your feet and automatically sing along. I want you to sit, and I want you to think about what we talked about this morning. And if you make a decision to follow Jesus this morning, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be brave enough to get up out of your seat as this last song is playing and go talk to an adult or a student that we will have in the back of the room. I know it's hard. I know it's going to be stressful. Take somebody with you if you want. If you came with a friend, bring them with you. If not, just grab somebody and say, hey, we got to go tell somebody about this. But I want you to have the courage to get up out of your seat. We have some things that we want to give you. And we have some leaders and some adults that love you. I know that's weird because we just met, but they do. That's what they're here for. And some students that have made decisions just like you to follow Jesus and are here to walk with you and to help you in this new life. So if you make the decision, have the courage to get out of your seat and to tell somebody and to celebrate that decision with somebody else. I'm going to pray. The band's going to play. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. God, that even though we've done a ton of wrong things, even though we deserve a guilty verdict, you stepped in right before it could be given to us, and you took it away. For those of us that believe, we get a not guilty verdict. We get to be forgiven. We get a new life free from all the mistakes and all the things we've done wrong. And God, I pray for students in this room who maybe haven't believed that today would be the day that they would have the courage, that they would be speaking to you even now and seeking forgiveness, seeking light to shine in the deepest, darkest places of their hearts, knowing that no matter what they're hiding, no matter what sin they're holding on to, you don't shame us for it. Instead, you forgive us and you love us and you give us a second chance. Lord, I pray for Christians that we would live lives doing everything we can to help other people believe in the Jesus that we believe in. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the not guilty verdict you give us. Ask all this in Jesus' name.